look at, because in the last Friday of the month of June, we're going to be having our Believers All Night meeting. I mean, remember you have June, last Friday. Okay, so we have a whole night, 6 hours or more, dedicated to just expressing the things of the Spirit, which is part of the inheritance that belongs to us in Christ. So today we're going to start looking at, I've been trying to look for a title to call this. So maybe you call it Spirit-to-Spirit Communication. The last time I used that title was 2006. Or Our Fellowship in Christ. Amen. All right, Ephesians now. Glory to God. Or let's start with Philemon. It's always a safe place to start. Philemon and verse 4 and 6. And I need you to pay attention. I'm going to teach things you're already practicing. But we're going to use the explanation of God's word to enforce continuity. Let me say that again. I'm sharing with you on things that most of us are practicing. At least as a pastor, I believe most of us are practicing. But then with further explanation of God's word, explanation, revelation brings continuity. Continuity means you are able to continue in those things. The reason why there are things of the Spirit you and I don't continue in is a function of knowledge. So the more knowledge you have, the more you lay hold of, you are able to express more of what God has already given to you in Christ Jesus. Philemon and verse 6, it says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 1, I want you to notice that the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Let me read that verse again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. If you're using Paul's letter to Philemon, it's very instructive. It gives us what you call a particular view of God, God's high view of the believer in Christ. It says that the communication of your faith, or I'm praying for you that the communication, that's the participation of your faith. You have faith in Christ, and the faith that you have in Christ is meant to participate in certain realities. So it says the expression of that faith becomes effectual. So you are a believer. Your faith, when you first get saved, doesn't start out being effectual immediately in all areas. It may be effectual in certain areas. It doesn't become effectual in most areas until you learn to acknowledge every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Now, over the years, we have explained, what does it mean to be in you in Christ? It simply means by reason of your union with Christ, there are good things that God has accomplished in Christ, and by extension, He has accomplished in you. So it says the communication of your faith, since your faith came through Christ, your faith was hotted by Christ, then the things that you acknowledge that will make that faith effectual has to be related with Christ. Say amen. So it says the communication or the outward expression of your faith, it becomes effectual. It may. That means there's a responsibility on your part and my part. That responsibility is you acquiring more knowledge of what already belongs to you. Now, again, in the New Testament epistles, one of the reasons why it takes a while for our mind to be rewired and to be renewed is because we battle a lot with traditional mindsets. Okay, so the average believer is waiting for God to do certain things. And so you hear it in their conversation, in their statements, God will do it. And it sounds okay, it's okay. In that sense, you are correct. But then it depends on what you mean by God will do it. Because here the Bible is teaching that when it comes to a believer, God has done all that needs to be done. He has blessed you with what? All spiritual blessing. Say all spiritual blessing. So all spiritual realities, everything you need in that realm of authority has been granted to you already in Christ Jesus. So you have a responsibility. Number one, am I going to count on my experience to interpret God's word, or allow God's word to show me what my experience should be? You have a responsibility. It says He has blessed you. All means there is no more to add to what has been given. That's what it means. It says He has blessed you with all. So when it comes to authority, you have it. When it comes to abundance, you have it. When it comes to the deep process of God, you already have all that God has available to give you in Christ Jesus. So in Christ is the measure of what a believer has. The measure of what you have is not in your conduct. The measure of what you have is in Christ. Now, the reason why we enforce the teaching of God's word and we insist on you bringing the Spirit is because that is the journey. It's a school. is something you're engaging throughout your life. Because there's so much you learn, so much you know, and so much you lay hold of. So, you first of all, you are battling with thoughts and experiences. And you see, if you learn as a believer to elevate your experience above God's word, you will not grow spiritually. You will always have an argument. The word of God is a final authority where a believer's experience is concerned. So you must learn how that even when the experience is yet to learn up, to elevate God's word above your experience, which is the Bible says it, I believe it, and I said to say. Say amen. That has to be your disposition. It is the greatest disposition a student can have towards a teacher. That is, I'm not having experiences in life because I don't yet know as I ought to know. If your focus is on God has not yet done it, you already invalidated the scriptures. He says he has blessed you. Say, I'm blessed with all spiritual blessing. All means all. Nothing more can be added. Christ is a measure of how blessed I am. If Christ is blessed and he is a blessing, I am blessed eternally with a blessing. Everything God has is stored in me now. Again, if you say that in most places, you'll be kicked out. Because we're battling with traditional mindset. So, in the process of practicing, because again, the reason why sometimes you practice some things of the Spirit spontaneously and you cannot continue is because you don't have the knowledge to back it up. Look at 1 Corinthians 12. I'm going to take pains to be as slow as possible. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. The reason why you battle or you can't continue, and now, starting is not the issue. Continuity is the name of the game. We want you to continue and to thrive, which is as you have begun, you are meant to continue. So when we have these meetings, we don't have we don't want a few people participating. We want everyone participating because everyone has the same inheritance. No single believer has more of God than the other. So what we have are believers who know how to express more of God than the other. So there are things in you are yet to fully comprehend or be aware of, and so you are yet to fully practice. So practice is riding on comprehension or understanding. Hallelujah. So the more of God's word you understand, the more you see, you know, we, in our community, we have a way of defining some people as Jim Jim. I mean, Jim Jim. I said Jim Jim. Sister K is from heaven. Where are you from? You know. We have a Sister Kola or Brother Kola is of God. What are you of? You know. What says you have God little children and you have what? Overcome them. Say, I've overcome them. For greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Now, someone else has acknowledged that. And so he's enjoying the benefits of that, and the acknowledgement takes place where in the mind, or what the Bible calls your understanding, the eyes of your understanding is now enlightened. So let's look at a church, at least one church in the epistles. We have churches that letters were written to in the epistles. We have the church of Corinth, the church at Thessalonica, church of Colossae, church at Ephesus. Okay, we have churches that letters were written to, and those churches are like us. Some of them had peculiar issues and peculiar characteristics, but the lesson that was taught is a lesson that's meant for the whole body. So the church at Noble House can learn from what was written to the church at Colossae or the church at Corinth. Amen? So look at what Paul writes and say, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 from verse 1. Quickly. 1 Corinthians 12, 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you what? Ignorant. So the word gifts is italicized. So you notice that now concerning spirituals or things of the spirit, I will not have you ignorant. The interesting thing about writing to this church is this: they had those things in expression. So what Paul wanted to communicate to them wasn't the expression, it was how to consistently express with knowledge, that is understanding. Let me say it again. If you don't have scriptural foundation for expressing the things of the spirit, you will become spooky. You know what I mean by being spooky? You'll be going off. You know, there are people that express things from familiar spirits and they are not aware. If you try to express things of the spirit, and I've seen people do that, without a foundation in God's word, you are going to go off. It's just a matter of time. So God's word is a legitimate basis for every valid expression of the spirit. Without that foundation, you are not going to do well. You'll be subject to deception and delusion. So he says, now concerning to people who have been expressing spiritual things, concerning things of the spirit, that's what spirituals means, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. So you can express and be ignorant. Because what we are doing in this teaching is that we're trying to fine tune. And because I'm just, this is just first day, we're trying to fine tune. It is not every voice you hear in the spirit that is of God. You have to have a scriptural foundation to know that this thing that I think I should say doesn't come from God. So you don't just open your mouth and say anything. If you want to minister the spirit to someone, if you don't have a scriptural foundation, you won't be able to distinguish or to discern which is of Christ, which is coming from another source. So, for instance, sometimes in our service meetings, like, go to your neighbor, go to somebody else, and go and professor, go and speak under inspiration. The reason why you can is because you are wired to be able to do so. But then one ensures that whatever you utter is legitimate is your knowledge and root in the scriptures. Let me say this again. This is one of the reasons why if you see a believer who has the spirit, and if you're a believer, you always have the spirit, but is not consistent in the word of God in fellowship, you are likely to go off. If I let me put it this way, the utterance that you have, just like any other believer, is pure, the expression won't be. Glory to God. The expression won't be. Let me say it another way. You may be someone who has a very good voice. I don't necessarily elevate a good voice above the Spirit of God. Because there are many people who sing opera and they're not born again. They just have a natural ability. But when it comes to church, we don't prioritize a good voice above having the Spirit. Having the Spirit is more important than what? Having a good voice. So if you have a good voice and you are relying on a good voice, you can't minister in a local assembly. Because a local assembly, things started in the spirit, they have to continue in the spirit. Hallelujah. So when we come together, we are not a physical body, it's not an entertainment center, it's a spiritual entity. So whoever is going to start to minister must minister as a oracle of the living God. That's one of the reasons why a pastor doesn't just cook up a message. He's not the head of the church. A pastor listens to the head of the church, you know what to tell the people that belong to the head of the church. Say amen. Do you understand? So the spirit simply means that you are walking in line with the leading of the Lord Jesus, the head of the church. So when you start to minister, you are not relying on any natural ability. Jesus doesn't need your natural ability to bless men. If he did, he won't give you his spirit. To give you his spirit means that he is counting on you, trusting him enough to know that his spirit is what it takes to bless men who are born of the spirit. Say amen. That's very important. So he says, now concerning things of the spirit, I would not have you one ignorant. So there are fundamentals that you need to understand. Now look at the next verse, verse 2 now. You know, hallelujah. And so he's writing to people that know what's about to say. You know that you were Gentiles. And this statement says a lot because it means that there are people outside of Christ who can also, permit me to use the phrase prophesy or prophesy. Okay? So that means man is designed to speak by inspiration. The only challenge is, where is inspiration coming from? You know, believers sometimes can be a bit gullible, which is why we focus so much on teaching you the word of God so that you recognize familiar spirits when they come. Okay? Men can yield to inspiration, not always that of the Spirit of God. Okay? When you go to a herbalist place, they tell you certain facts about your life through the operation of familiar spirits. Okay? And they will be accurate to a degree because they are operating through spirits. Now, usually what deceives a lot of people is that the minute they tell you one or two things, you start believing them. You are not able to check, is this of Christ or not? And that's where the problem is. A believer should be so grounded in God's word that he's not easily deceived. I mean, you are entering a church and not occasionally, everybody that enters that church, the pastor starts reading your mail as you are entering. You are coming home, and they never tell you the solution to the problem. They don't tell you the problem. That's familiar spirit. That's not spirit of Christ. I mean, I heard somebody boasting in that. And I was just feeling sad for her. That you are so dumb spiritually, you don't even know the difference between familiar spirit and spirit of God. Where did you see that done in the epistles? Can a minister have revelation gifts operating in such a way that's consistent? Yes. Is that how Christ will be glorified? No. And in everyone that enters the church, they'll just tell you your problem and they never tell you solution. Does that sound like Christ to you? So when you are going there, you've forgotten that herbalists are not wearing suits. The traditional herbalist is not working again, so everyone's not wearing suit. Then they put the name Christ proclaimers. The only problem is which Christ? This problem. Okay, so he says, you know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto this dumb idols, even as you were what? Inspired. You were led. You were led. Look at the next verse. Wherefore I give you to understand. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14, is for one singular purpose. That the believers may understand. Why? In the gathering of the Corinthians, according to history, there were people who sometimes stand up as they were expressing the spirit and they will express another spirit in their gathering. Why was it peculiar to Corinthian church? The church at Corinth were people who came out of idol worship into Christ. So there were people that would sometimes sign up in their congregation and still express the words of an idol that's not Christ. So Paul was saying, wherefore I give you to understand, or it is not the expression they are going to trust. It is the content of what is expressed that you need to focus on. Hallelujah. I need to focus on. So Paul is saying, wherefore I give you to understand, or I am communicating something to you, understanding that no man that speaks by the Spirit of God can call Jesus what? Accursed. And no man can say Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. So all the explanations in 1 Corinthians 12, chapter 13, chapter 14 is written to believers to school them in how to recognize, how to discern, and how to yield to the things of the Spirit. So that you can discern that every man speaking by the Spirit of Christ speaks in a particular way. They speak consistent with the revelation of Christ. So if any man speaks to you outside of that revelation, because you know the revelation of Christ, you know how to discern and how to separate and know that whatever is being spoken, this can't be the Spirit of God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1 now. Let's go to chapter 1. We're going to come back. We're introducing this morning and then we're going to come back. Because every one of us must learn how to flow and how to give expression to the things of the Spirit. Say, the things of the Spirit lie within me. I was born that way. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, let's read from verse 3. Quickly, because of our time. 1 Corinthians 1 from verse 3. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Next verse. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you. By who? By Jesus Christ. Notice that source, a believer is always a source of thanksgiving. I say, I thank my God always on your behalf. Say always. We should always give thanks for a believer because of what God has done. Hallelujah. Let me say that again. Notice Paul is writing by the Spirit of God. And Paul is showing us something important. How does God view a believer? A believer is not a prayer point before God. A believer's life is settled in Christ. Say amen. So how do you start to win? No matter the challenge a believer is in, how do you start? You give what? Thanks. What are you doing when you are giving thanks? You are acknowledging the reality of what Christ has done in that believer's life. Let me say it again. You don't pray for a believer based on a situation. You pray for a believer based on revelation. Let me say it again so you can hear. Because it is that kind of wrong praying that brings problem. When you start praying based on a situation, you have stepped out, at least in your mind, of Christ. He says, I thank my God always on your behalf, and you will know the gravity of that statement until you get to chapter 3. When you hear Paul saying, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. You get chapter 5. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you. That's the people Paul is talking to. That's the people Paul is talking to. He's going to say that in chapter 3, chapter 5. So these are people who are not in conduct perfect. But we in Christ are perfect. Hallelujah. It's very important. So look at where Paul is starting from. He's starting from what God has accomplished for them in Christ. Don't lose sight of it. This is the reality of the believer Paul is about to announce. Paul says, I thank my God always on your behalf for what? The grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. So let me ask you, do you need grace? Everybody thinks it's a great question. Do you need grace? Let me rephrase it. Do you lack grace? Do you need more grace in expression? You see, I tricked you. Yes, no. Do you need more grace in expression? Yes. You don't need more grace in expression. Me, I need more grace in expression. Do you need more grace in your life? No. Do you need more grace in expression? Yes. Do you have all grace in Christ Jesus? You are better say yes quickly. Listen carefully. In the New Testament, God doesn't give you grace in measure. You express grace in measure. Should I say that again? See what it says. I thank my God always on your behalf for what? The grace of God, which is what? Giving you by who? By Jesus Christ. That word grace here means something that is giving you in its fullness, not in partiality or measures. So again, go back to that prayer that Paul prayed for Philemon. He said that the communication of your faith may become more effectual as you acknowledge one every good thing. So let me ask you quickly, do you have the grace of God? Is the grace of God at work in you? That Philemon, look at that Philemon, verse 25. Let's look at Philemon verse 25. Two scriptures. Philemon 25. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Say, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is with my spirit. Look at Galatians 6:18. Remember what we're doing this morning? We're allowing the testimony of God's word to dictate what is the grounds on you and I operating in the things of the spirit. Let me say it again. If you try to look at the way you feel to operate in the things of God, you won't. Because all the testimonies we're reading, this is the testimony of God we're reading. The epistles are the testimony of God. What testimony mean? It means God is attesting to what he has done for you and I in Christ. So the testimony of God here means that this is what God has accomplished, which you are now finding out by revelation. Hallelujah. So he says the grace of God is with the believer's spirit. So the grace of God is with my spirit. Now see it again. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Do you see that? So the grace, God's divine ability, his omnipotency is with our spirit. Your spirit and your mind are different. Your spirit and your emotions are different. Your spirit and your feelings are different. Your feelings are meant to be schooled under the tutelage of your spirit. So we use God's word to school you into understanding what are the realities your spirit is pregnant with. So go back to that 1 Corinthians 1 again. Verse 4. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. Next verse. That in everything, say everything, you are enriched by him. That word enriched means to be made wealthy, to be given an inheritance, not something you work for, that another work for, that has now been bestowed upon you, for which you did nothing to qualify. So he says that in everything you are enriched by him, or you were made wealthy by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge. Now notice again, when God wants to enrich a man, his focus is not physical riches. Even though God can bless your physical riches, but it's dealing with spiritual realities. Who you are in Christ says, what it means to be born again is that you have been enriched by him in all utterance, as all supernatural speakings, and in all knowledge. So a believer starts out his life already made wealthy in all utterance. Now, if the Bible says all utterance, it means there is never a time God needs to pour more into you. There's always a time you need to pour more out of what has been poured into you. How do you pour more out? That's why he says, I give you to understand. Hallelujah. So if you understand, what understanding does is that it bears more expression. So there are people who are expressing, and they are constantly expressing. What they have is not more of the expression in that sense. What they have is more understanding that is given back to the expression. Say amen. Notice, we are all believers. We are all blessed with all spiritual blessing. Then it says we have been enriched with all utterance and all knowledge. So what God simply does is this. If you are in Christ, he enriches you with all utterance and all knowledge. That means that whatever, as far as God's part is concerned, all that needs to be done is done. Or let me put it another way. All utterance and all knowledge simply means that what God believes you need, now that you're in Christ, is not anything on the outside, is many things on the inside. Then whatever is on the inside will control and give back to things on the outside. Say amen. That's important. So the Bible says that he has enriched you with all utterance and in all knowledge. Next verse. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. How is a believer meant to wait until the time of resurrection? According to that scripture, how are you meant to wait? Are you meant to wait hiding in a room? Are you meant to wait just praying alone? How are you meant to wait? How are you meant to wait? Coming behind in no gift. Let me explain what that means. It means when it's time to go, they should find you walking. You should be found expressing supernatural realities. It means you should be so expressive that that's how you were found. You were on the streets giving one another to somebody, getting somebody healed. It says you come behind in no gift. That means you are lacking no gift in expression. How did you get all the gift? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is with your spirit. How does that grace operate? You are being blessed with all utterance and all knowledge. Hallelujah. So your starting point as a believer is that you have all utterance and all knowledge. So how do you express, or what determines how much you express? That's what Paul calls, I give you to understand, or I'm teaching you so you will know that you are not going to ask God to do what he has already done. Look at 1 Corinthians 2. This is chapter 1. Look at chapter 2 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 12. I'm taking it slow because it's important. Because when we get to the Acts of Apostles, pay attention, you will see the experience of the believer in Acts, but you won't see the teaching. Why can't you count on Acts of Apostles alone? You will see the experience of these realities, but you won't see the teaching to explain what they're experiencing. So when you see the experience, you will know how it ought to look like. You will know why. If you don't know why, even if you experience it, you can't continue in it. What is God's plan? That you continue. So let me say it again. Some of us flow better when we come to church. There's a reason for that. We'll look at it. The reason is because you are with the brethren. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14 verse 26, how is in them brethren? When you come together. There are some things that are stayed within you because we come together. But before we come together, there's a practice on your own. How is it, brethren? When you come to yourself, by yourself, there's a practice. It is that practice that is enhanced when we come together. So let me say this. When you don't practice when you are alone, you are robbing yourself of that of which Christ has enriched you with. Let me say it another way. He enriched you with all utterance and all knowledge. Within the all utterance and the knowledge, there are things to say, even in your everyday experience, that Christ wants to communicate to you. That's already there. That's why, let me say it again, your spirit man is never surprised by situations of life. Your spirit has the DNA of God. It's never surprised. That means if you are bold in supernatural speakings, for instance, on a daily basis, before events happen, you will know about it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know that believers would think that the day they have a revelation of something that's going to happen, that day God was in a good mood. No, you were in the right company. The company of your spirit in Christ Jesus. You were in the right company. That means there are things that you ought to say. And I always say this, what you have not said, you have not said. And what you have not said is going to be difficult for you to experience. So you start with yourself. When we come together, that's a corporate flow. That means when we come together, there are things that we're going to see because we have come together. We cannot have more when we come together when there is less when you are alone. That means that when you are alone, it is that which you had when you were alone that you brought to us. And when you brought it to us, it became more in expression. Do you understand that? So when we have the flow, remember, think about it. We're going to have all night. If you can't do 2 minutes all night, you'll be asleep. You won't disconnect. You because you have not practiced. In this day and age, if you're a member of this local assembly, I shouldn't be asking if you speak in tongues. You should be. By now, you should be. If you are not, we don't have a word for you. Except you just joined. If you just joined, fine. But if you are not, that means after all these years, you have deliberately refused. Now, it's your choice. Now, Paul has a message for you. He said that I do not frustrate the grace of God or receive the grace of God in vain. You know what that means? That means you did not accept that grace to carry out what's meant to carry out, but you have the grace. That's what it means. He says that I don't receive the grace of God in vain. 2 Corinthians 6:1. Don't receive it in vain. That is, you are not using it for his purpose, but the grace of God is there. Hallelujah. So see what this is now. It says, go back to that 1 Corinthians 2. You have to learn to keep up with me. Back to 1 Corinthians 2 verse 12. Hallelujah. Learn to keep up with me. Now we have received. Let's say that I want to go. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might stop. Stop. If we summarize that one verse, when you receive your new nature in Christ, what is the primary purpose of that new nature? What's the primary purpose of that new nature? Now, notice something very important. The new nature, you don't have it primarily to make God do anything. It is that you might know. That means the new nature will testify to one thing. There are many things God has done. We want you to be aware. I mean, you know what I just said. There are many things God has done. I want you to be aware. This is why you are different from Moses or David or Ezekiel or Isaiah, because they had a right to look forward to God doing something. But the nature you now have, you will have received not the spirit or the nature of the world, but the nature which is of God, that we might know the things that are what? Freely given. Let me ask you a question. Whenever you see the word knowledge, something has already taken place. That which has taken place, you now discover or you become aware. So it says that you might know or you discover. So there is a catching up process for a believer. You are meant to find out what has been freely given. Say there are things that are freely given to me in Christ Jesus. Miracles, signs, wonders, supernatural help, divine protection, divine assistance has been given to me even before the need ever arose. I am meant to discover how those things work. That's so important. It says there are things freely given. Notice it's not talking about things you ask for. These are things that God already presumed that you need. God already preempted the event before it took place. So a believer has been blessed with all. Say all. Say all I will ever need in life has been given in Christ Jesus. Again, that is important. It says, now the spirit which you have received is so that you may know or discover or come into an awareness of those things which are freely given. The word freely given means freely given. Are you not surprised? Is that not serious revelation? Freely given. That means that it is given with no strings attached. What is the condition? You are in Christ. You are acknowledging every good thing which is in you in Christ. Do you know, I used to fast for power. I suffered. Because when I wasn't fasting, I was seeing miracles. But religion is a bastard. You know, religion suspends common sense. Have you noticed? You didn't fast. You pray for somebody, you saw a miracle. When I say, I want more power. What did you do to produce that one? Your brain is not even working that. Wait. What happened? Am I saying you shouldn't fast? Don't fast for the wrong thing. Fast, but don't fast for the wrong thing. It took a while for me to catch up. I was like, I was so dumb. 2 + 3 is not, you can't even get 4. That wait, this, there's a form, as in, but I wasn't doing anything when this happened. But because that is what other, be careful of associations. If they are going to the mountain for 2 weeks with you, will stick, you will follow them. What are you looking for? Power. 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 To make it more dramatic, you not give it name. Power from on high. That Jesus said he has given you. You said, no, you have not given it. Give it now. I just like, if it's possible, let's consult. Give breath. But you're not there. You didn't just send the power. You were there. Peter, at least you are here now. Were you not there? When we sent it, they said we should give. Are we not giving the Holy Spirit? Where is Spirit? Is it not working? Did people get saved in Indonesia yesterday? They did. What about Jakarta? What about India? People not get saved. Could they get saved without the Holy Ghost? No. Where is the Holy Ghost? He's on heart. But they say we should send power. Where we get it from? Send your power, Holy Ghost power. Send your power again. Problem. Problem again. So the one on the Pentecost is not enough again. What gave back to that prayer? Experience. What should give back to a believer's prayer? Revelation of God's word. It is impossible for God to lie. If he says he has freely given, he has what? Freely given. When you are fasting, what you become aware of? What he has already done. That your flesh stopped you from experiencing. That's what the fasting is for. You can't get more power than you have been given because you have all power in Christ Jesus. The Bible says the exceeding greatness of his power towards us which believe, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. So, when you are fasting and praying and meditating, that's why if you are fasting and you are not praying, you are on hunger strike. Or you are dieting, which is good, but don't call it fasting. Because you are not going to be more cognizant, you're not going to be more aware of the power after you finish fast than before. So the issue is your fast is meant to subdue the flesh, make you aware of spiritual realities. Notice, you are becoming aware. God is not doing more, you are discovering more. That's what happens. Don't forget those simple explanations. It's very important. Hallelujah. So it says, we have received. Say, we have received. Not the spirit of the world, but the spirit is of God, that we might know, that I might know the things which are freely given to me of God. So that verse 4-5 makes sense, that he has enriched you with all utterance and all knowledge. Those things are freely given. You have been enriched with all utterance and all knowledge. That means there's nothing else that God needs to add after he has enriched all utterance and all knowledge. Now, within the all utterance, all knowledge, is all that God will do in your life as a believer. That means there are many things that you are meant to say out by the same spirit that you have received that will now become an experience for you. So when you're not speaking, for instance, you are actually robbing yourself of certain benefits. Because your life started out by speaking. Look at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. Quickly. How did you start your journey? But what said it, what is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. Next verse. That if thou shalt what? Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in her that God has raised from the dead, thou shalt be. Let me say that again. Notice what you are believing, you are that you are confessing your mouth. You are believing something that has already happened. The day you confess is not the way it happened. That's the day you believed it. Say amen. So the day you got saved, is that the day that Jesus died for you? That's the day you found out. So the same principle, some things have been done. When you are responding, your faith is acknowledging that this has happened. So when it says he has enriched you with all utterance, when you step out, what you are doing is that you are now expressing what has been given to you already. Glory to God. Mark chapter 16 and verse 17. Look at what Jesus said. How many of you believe that Jesus can't lie? Mark 16, 17. And this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they shall. Let's stop there. Jesus said, in my name. Mark chapter 16, verse 17. Say with me, if I can speak with tongues, I can cast out devils. It's by the same spirit. Mm-hmm. In my name, this sign shall follow them that believe. Pay attention. Don't misunderstand what he just said. Them that believe is not talking to a believer believing afresh. When you believe once, you become saved. How many of you believe once you became saved? That is the believing you need to believe. Have you believed? Are you saved? Can you speak with tongues? Can you cast out devils? Have you cast out devils? Can you see? Now, can you see that where the issue is what you have done out of what you can do? Now, you see this means? So there's what you can do. There's what you have done. What you have done is not necessarily all that you can do. You need to understand that. What you have done is not necessarily all you can do. How do you do more? I give you to understand. So if you learn more, you are taught more, you understand more, what will happen? You will do more. Is God doing more? You are doing more. So who is in control? You or God? What has God given you? All or trust or what? Knowledge. Isn't it? Now, how many of you used to pray 1 minute prayer before you go to bed when you were younger? Let me see. They taught you. How many of you speak the Lord's Prayer? I feel like saying the Lord's Prayer, but you speak the Lord's Prayer, okay. Do you still pray that prayer now? Why? Why? Why not praying? What has happened to you? Why are you no longer praying the Lord's Prayer at night? Some people pray this prayer, so lay me down to sleep. All kinds of prayer that we learn in primary school, isn't it? And I don't know whether you were taught this song. Something about them to see you, dear Lord of. I've never gotten it right in primary school. It wasn't until I got to that anybody was saying of the three things I pray: to see you more dearly, love you more clearly, follow you more clearly. Because you just said, but until you go and I say, okay, day by day, to see you more, love you more, follow you more. So to see you more nearly. But even the chats are like, shall say what you know, shall say what you know. So it's okay. But when you grow older, what changed? Did the song change? You are the one who changed. You're singing a correct one because you change. The song has always been correct. That's what happened. That's what we call spiritual growth.
you are the one who changes because you now know more. So you pray better because you know more. So the prayer I used to pray is now helped solely because you now know more than the way you used to pray before. So you are the one who is growing. Why? You are acknowledging every good thing. And the Bible says, you are now knowing more of the things that are freely given. Say, utterance has been freely given to me in Christ Jesus. So, again, look at that. And this sign shall follow. Say, there's a sign that follows me. In the name of Jesus, I cast out devils. In the name of Jesus, I speak with new tongues. The summary of that statement, in the name of Jesus, simply means anyone who is born again, because you can't get born again without the name. The name doesn't mean J-E-S-U-S. Okay, I taught this series on the name of Jesus, 14 teachings. The name simply means in the authority of all I've accomplished. So anyone who is in me has the ability to speak in tongues. Will they speak in tongues? That's now up to them. That's no longer God. Anyone who is in me or who has been born again, as by that bed has been placed far above the devil, he can cast out devils. But will the person cast out devils? That's the issue. So you have the ability by birth. You learn about the ability and begin to walk in the one ability. So every believer can speak with tongues. Every believer can speak with tongues. I speak with tongues because I am a believer. In the name of Jesus, I have utterance. That's so important. That's where you start from. Then as you continue, you begin to see more and more of what you can do, first of all in the world, then by experience. Let me say it again. Don't reverse the order. Don't start with experience. You can be misled. When we're having these meetings, over time, you know, I'm a pastor, I get feedback as a pastor. So I know I can't allow every one of us to hold the mic. Because there are some things we will say that will let us know what you kept inside the cupboard. You know, yes, sir, I had somebody that was close to me. Well, I went to a meeting where he was supposed to be ministering. That's why I knew that my influence did nothing at all in a person's life. Because the way they started praying, my father, I don't know where they got it from. Have you heard that kind of prayer before? Can somebody explain to me what he means? And everything you're about to say after is contrary to the father. My father. Everyone that's pursuing me. So you are acknowledging they're pursuing you. That's the problem. You are even acknowledging they're pursuing you. Then why is it my father? He didn't hear the first one. I mean, I don't understand the... Because something just become it just becomes what you call a pattern. And nobody questions, is this even okay? My father. Even when you are chanting praises, be careful. Because some of the things you are saying is for all these local deities. Or Mimi, Timi, what is it, Mimi? You have to be careful. You are already deviating from the Bible. Did you see Paul say that way? Paul. You are introducing African culture. That's the problem. You have less scriptures. Paul says that you have received by which we cry, Abba, Father. Simple. That's big enough. It's large enough. Abba, Father is bigger than Jehovah Jireh, Shalom, Shylock, Jehovah, Sikkim. It's bigger. Say Father. In family language. We are family. Say we are family. And Moses didn't have what you have. Be glad and be grateful. Don't look for him in the burning bush. He's not in the burning bush. You understand? So you have to have a New Testament mindset that you are now a son and God is your father. And he has enriching all utterance. And the greatest blessing God wants you to have is a renewed mind. I am your father. I'm not out to get you. I'm not even out to bless you. I've blessed you as a son. Glory to God. He's the only father I know who anticipates all that his children need and gives them in advance before they can ask. The children are finding out every day. Your father knows what things you have need of even before you ask him. That's the kind of father we have. Glory to God. So Jesus said, this sign shall follow. In my name, they shall speak with new tongues. Acts chapter 2. We're not going to go full into that because of our time. Our children are going to come up. But I need to introduce, because from next Sunday, we'll start going deeper. And then not only will we go deeper, we'll begin to express some things. Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. The early church, the experience. This was the experience, okay? And we said, if you want understanding, you don't just start with experience. You have to know what is behind the experience. Because Acts chapter 2 verse 4 is unique because of the way it was phrased and because of what happened. And they were all
120 people filled with the Holy Ghost, and they all began to speak other tongues as the Spirit gave them what? Utterance. So if they all were filled, they all began to speak, they all received utterance. The only reason why they all began to speak was because they all were taught the same thing by the same teacher. Hallelujah. Look at Acts 1:8. We're going to run over shortly. Again, I've taken pains to explain to you that the epistles in the New Testament, we're looking at what God has done for you in Christ. That's the message of the gospel. God has already done. He's not going to do. Come, all things are now ready. That's the message of the gospel. Okay, so he says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is what? Come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. Now next week, maybe we'll be going to more. The preceding verses, the Bible says that Jesus appeared to them after his passion. That's the word resurrection. After he rose from the dead, Jesus appeared to them in many infallible proofs, and he taught them for 40 days. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 is a summary of what Jesus taught them. Jesus couldn't have just been telling them for 40 days. Every day, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost. It doesn't need 40 days to say that. I mean, we need 40 days to say that. So, Acts chapter 1 verse 8 is a summary of what he said. I'm teaching now, let's say 4 or 5, or more than that in this series. If anyone asks you, what did Pastor teach in the month of May and June? Like he will say that he taught about maybe fellowshipping with the Spirit or yielding to the Spirit. But yielding to the Spirit is the summary of what I said. It's not all I said. I mean, if you understand. So when the Bible says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, the writer, Luke, is summarizing for us what Jesus taught them for 40 days. So the reason why 120 people did what they did on the day of Pentecost, because they were taught for 40 days. So they actually understood what to do, and they all did it. Hallelujah. They all did it. So the reason why we're going to have a great flow this month, the next month, okay, and doing our honor is because we will all have understanding. Say amen. Amen. We will know what to do. So when you say, go and give a word to somebody, you won't be cracking your brain, because you are not going to be asked to give what you don't already have. Now, some people have become so developed by reason of use that if you say, you come, go to that person and go and give. When you said, go to that person, their mind was not aware of what they would say. But when they got there, what they will say came out. Somebody says, how? By faith, because the thing is already there. It's not going to come into you. It's already where in you. Glory to God. You know, Pastor T will stand up and give us a psalm now. Guess what? I didn't tell him before. Why can I do that? Because I know he has a private and personal work with God. Can I give the same psalm? Yes. I don't need to shake myself. I'm not Samson. Yes. And Samson shook himself. I don't need to shake. They needed to shake. We will see why they need to shake. Why don't you need to shake? You don't need shaking. You're not in white garment church. You don't need shaking. So where I'm coming from is far, I'm telling you. Okay. So again, like I said, because when one expresses things of spirit, is at will. At will means that he has enriched. Say, I've been enriched with all utterance and all knowledge. The question is, will you express what you have been given? What does the revelation of God's word do to you? It teaches you how to express it. You already know you have it. The next thing it does, which we look at, is this. It gives you the vocabulary to express it. So that if you don't have the revelation of the epistles, when we give you the mic, let me tell you the truth, the inspiration can be right. You want to prophesy. And then you start telling us, as David led the children of Israel out of Egypt, so will I lead you out. And then the brethren are confused. David, children of Israel, Egypt, how? As Noah delivered them from the plague. Which Noah? Which plague? You know, there's a problem. Now, you have mixed up Noah and Moses. We know that it was mixed up. We know the inspiration is of God, but the expression is of you. Because your mind is not renewed enough, and so you are mixing. So you see, when you now read the Bible and study, this is why it's important, because even the vocabulary to express the utterance, where do you get it from? The revelation of God's word. Hallelujah.
Can you? So sometimes the person you are ministering to doesn't have enough maturity to know how to sift the wheat from the chaff. That is, you come to minister to me, you say it wrong, but I still get the substance of what you are saying, that you are right. How many of you have just said? So you can say it wrong, but the substance is right.
Hallelujah.
See, I've seen people who stumbled and said all kinds of things before they eat it right, but because they continued. How do you avoid that? A renewed mind is an indispensable tool for flowing with the Spirit. So don't try to do things of the Spirit without the Word. You will backfire. Something we just say something that's just off. Particularly if you are the hungry type. God show you that somebody needs to be free from condemnation. But since you are a chief judge, you have not repented. God says to me, you have not repented. This is how people die. You have not repented. That's not the Spirit of God. That's not the Spirit of God. The way you are, in fact, you even know the possibility, the way you are living. God is telling me, no, it's your mind that's telling you. The way you are living, you're always coming late to church. You didn't know by word of knowledge, you need to know by word from knowledge. So, to see word from knowledge, from word of knowledge, you have to understand the difference. So, as we look at God's word, we're going to now give, we're given a scriptural basis and foundation for the things of the Spirit, so that when you're flowing, you can flow with confidence. Note what I said earlier, this is what we all can do. Why would we call some individuals to do it? So that you can see an example to what? Follow. Say amen. That's important. Every local assembly has. When we come together, 1 Corinthians 14:26. How is any burden? When you come together, every one of you has. What is every one of you has? He said, everyone. Guess what? Among everyone, there are some that are quicker to give what they have. Because they've schooled themselves. They've learned God's word. They've understood how it works. So we're not going to put you on the spot. We're going to allow the knowledge of God's word to build up in your heart, that you are the one who will come to us and tell us, Pastor, I have something to say. I have something to minister. Because you are an able minister of the New Testament. Hallelujah. Pastor Tim.
I am a doer of the word of God. I'm not a hearer only. I hear God's word with a view to do. For I'm blessed in the things that I hear. I am blessed in the things that I do. I am not one that hears only, but I'm one who does what I have heard. So if I've heard that the Spirit has given unto me all utterance, then I will go forth and do all utterance. If I've heard that the Spirit of God has given unto me wisdom, then I will go forth unashamed and I manifest that wisdom. For I know him, for he has called me, and so I will make manifest, I will prove that call by doing all that he has spoken of concerning me to do. So I urge you all, even by the Spirit of the Lord, I beseech you, oh, that you listen to God's word, you listen to the ministry of the word, oh, with a view to do the same. For in doing that, you become perfected. In doing that, you have mastery. And so, even without the nudging, so to say, of the heart, you know that all that you have, all that you need is on the inside, and then you can bring it forth.
Hallelujah. You call that an admonition by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. By the Spirit of God. Now, as we go into the practicals in the weeks to come, you will learn that you don't have to start the way it started. Okay? If we're going to follow the example in the book of Acts, how did they start? How did they start? They were all filled with what? The Holy Ghost. And they began to, with what? With what? With what? What did that Mark 16:17 say? In my name they shall speak with new tongues. So it says they were filled and they began to speak what? Other tongues. As the Spirit gave them. Do you have utterance? Do you have utterance? Can you speak with tongues? That's the beginning. Okay? And so most of what we will practice will start from there to make you see how readily available these things are for everyone. Hallelujah. When thoughts come about the fact that where you are is not where you are meant to be,
And then that same thought is accompanied by the spirit of anxiety. It is not of God. It is not of God. Do not allow pressure of pursuing things of the world rob you of the satisfaction and contentment that God has given you. For that same spirit will say, are you where your mates are? Say you are where Christ is. Answer back with that confidence that he is satisfied with you. Answer back with the confidence that the Father finds pleasure in you. For the things of this world will come and pass away, but the eternal verities of the Father in you will forever abide. So take pleasure in eternal truths and verities. Take pleasure in the reality of his spirit dwelling inside of you. And everything that the world is chasing, you will find it waiting at your doorstep. For the Father will lead you step by step. For as you magnify the things of the spirit above the things of the flesh, you will find your place, your true calling. You will find a full expression of this blessing in your life. For no longer will your heart be bound to earthly things. Your heart will clearly express heavenly things, and the heavenly things will overtake earthly things, and you will have abundance, an abundance that will only bring delight, for your consciousness will remain of him and him alone. Hallelujah. You will not suffer a stroke. You will not suffer hypertension. Be free in your mind. The enemy has come, but he has nothing in you. He has nothing on you. So let the thought lift, for he tries to place a yoke. Allow the liberty of Christ, which you have heard this morning, to free your mind from the fear. For with the fear, the enemy invades and tries to take away the health you already have. But I affirm that health is mine. Wholeness is mine. I am not a candidate of hypertension. I am not a victim of stroke. I walk in health. As he is, so am I. As he is in health, so am I in health. And I triumph over every negative thought. Hallelujah. Now we can continue like that. And more will be coming forth. So the first one was a sermon instruction. The second was a revelation. When it's time for it to happen, all things should be made available. All things will be ready. But I've not even seen the slightest sign that everything is ready. But it will be ready. It will be ready. It will be ready. So have no fear and say, how will tomorrow be? Tomorrow is hidden in yesterday. Yesterday he did it. Yesterday he has done it. So tomorrow is much better than today, because he is your tomorrow. It doesn't get better, but you get better in understanding. So be confident about tomorrow, for there's one who is your yesterday and your today is still your tomorrow. And he has put in your tomorrow all that you will need before you knew that the need will arise. So make your post constantly in him, that you may be free from anxiety. And as you are free, that same liberty will cause the material things upon the earth to flow in your direction. For you are more than a conqueror, even as it is written. Hallelujah. So we can continue and then you will discover that we have been edified. Fear is leaving. The grip of fear that tries to hold us down, it just vanishes. I hear in my spirit, you will not be passed over. You will not be passed aside. You will not be set aside without a reward. No, 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 no. Another will not be put in your place. But by him, you will stand in that place. And when it's time to go, you will go because there's a better place to go. No, you will not be cast aside. So do not let the enemy put in your mind. And so you are even having thoughts. Let me pray. Let me pray. Let me pray about this. No, pray only in understanding. Understanding, that's the revelation of the fact that it's not possible for you to be passed over or passed by. Pray in the understanding that the Father has got your back. He has got things already worked out. So whatever thoughts an enemy has put that will make you think of having a vigil so that you will not be put out of your position, cast aside. I know the enemy is going about with his lies again. Remember, it is written in the scriptures, he went about as a roaring lion. He seeketh whom may be devour, whom resist steadfast in your faith. Your revelation is your faith. Your understanding is your faith. That light of Christ is your faith. Stand your ground in faith and know your position can no man take. Glory to God forever. Lift up your hands and let's give him praise this morning. Hallelujah. So when he says he has enriched us, I want you to see how what he has given to us is going to be a blessing to every one of us. Every one of us. What are we going to do? We're just going to be yielding to it. And that's how a local assembly is meant to function. You don't need to have told anybody a challenge you're facing. When we come together, we will say it. And we'll tell you the mind of God about it. Hallelujah. You'll be edified. You'll be free. Sleeplessness is not of God. Sleeplessness is not of God.
For it is reaching he giveth his beloved sleep. His word is your pillow. His grace is your comfort. His ability is yours to claim whenever you want to. So understand that that ability will frustrate every hindrance in the natural. And say to yourself, tonight I will sleep and I'll be rested. And I will no longer have issues with sleeplessness. That's for someone. I will no longer have issues with sleeplessness. Glory to God. If it's asked for you, lift up your hand. Glory to God. Father, we give you praise. 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 When we started this year, because to show us the direction of this year, because when we started this year, I came up with a team of much more. How many of you are much more? Now, what I didn't tell you was that I sang out a song by the Spirit. That's where I got that instruction from. And the words of that song goes, I persist in the things of the Spirit, in the readings of your grace. I will study more. I will pray much more. I will reach out more. I will yield much more. Those are the wordings of the song. Okay, so that's why I got the emphasis that the Spirit was emphasizing much more. Much more. Much more. That is, it was trying to encourage us to step more into the water. There's so much more than you have taken. Hallelujah. Look, I think I gave lyrics some time ago on the system when Jeff was here. Okay, I persist in the things of the Spirit, in the readings of your grace. I will study more, I'll pray much more, I will reach out more, I will yield much more. Okay, there were the other parts. I don't want to say that part, that's a consecration. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So just try and follow me, keyboard. I persist. Oh, I persist in the things of your Spirit, in the readings of your grace. I persist. Oh, I persist in the things of your Spirit, in the readings of your grace. I will study more. I will pray much more. I will reach out more. I will yield much more. I will study more. I will pray much more. I will reach out more. I will yield much more. I persist. Oh, I persist in the things of your Spirit, in the readings of your grace. I persist. Oh, I persist in the things of your Spirit, in the readings of your grace. I'll study more. I will pray much more. I will yield much more. I persist. Oh, I persist in the things of your Spirit, in the readings of your grace. I persist. Oh, I persist in the things of your Spirit, in the readings of your grace. I'll study more. I will pray much more. I will reach out more. I will yield much more. I'll study more. I will pray much more. I will reach out more. I will yield much more. Hallelujah. Did that do something for you this morning? Lift your hands and give him praise. We live by the Spirit. We are of the Spirit. We'll express more of His glory, of His mighty power in the days ahead.